podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. It's Az here. It's a new series. I don't know why I'm doing this to myself, but I've decided that to give a bit of support to Gianni, I will start doing my own team selection video every Thursday. So obviously, if you watch Black Box, you'll kind of know what I'm thinking, but this allows me to go into a little bit more detail about it. You might not be interested in that. I wouldn't be, but here we are. I'm currently ranked very low, as we'll see in a little bit, but it's only game week one, so it's probably fine. If you do like the idea of this video, though, if you do want to see me, all the highs and lows of my season, do give me a like on this video. Do subscribe to the channel as well. I'd really appreciate it. And like I said, I'll be able to get these out kind of every Thursday evening for you to laugh at what's going on. As you can see, I'm quite negative. I need to chill out. It's only game week one. There's plenty of time to go. As well as that, I'll also be talking about Fantasy 5 as well. I know a lot of you play this. You know that I play it kind of every week as well. They're a partner of Scout this season. You can win £10,000 for free every week. All you've got to do is pick five players that you think will outscore their fantasy points target, which is assigned by Fantasy 5. It's delightfully simple, very difficult to do, but there's some great prize offer as well. You've got weekly prizes, Premier League kits of choice, monthly prizes. They're giving away things like gaming TVs and overall prize as well. UCL final tickets, the Champions League were given away last week to the final. And there's a league as well that you can join and check yourself on the leaderboard. So it's well worth getting into. Add it to your kind of fantasy football weekly kind of routine I have. And like I said, I play every week. So these were my selections last week. I went for Perisic, Neto, James, Welbeck and Kevin De Bruyne. You can see none of them outscored their fantasy target, even though I did get returns from Welbeck and De Bruyne. I made a clean sheet from James as well, apart from the yellow card. No bonus points, you'll note. So yeah, it wasn't possible last week. There was no winners from West Ham City, no winners from Leeds and Wolves. But if you pick the likes of Gross, Solly March, Ben Chilwell, Jorginho, Dyer, Kulusevski, you can be ranking quite high. So when are we going to see our first winner? Will it be me? Stay tuned and find out. I'll be presenting my team for next week at the end of this video as well, after I've gone through my current team. Okay, let's talk about game week one then. The dust has settled. I've had enough time to kind of process kind of what went on. It was an interesting game week. I know there's a lot of kind of good scores out there. The template broadly did well, although, you know, there was a lot of pain if you went for some of the Spurs players, and a lot of people have obviously moved over to Haaland. I didn't fare too well. 49 points. It's Ward in goal with one. Trent Robertson, Dean, Perisic, who was a bit of an error. Cancelo, Salah, De Bruyne, Mount, Neto and Jesus. Now, if any of you watched my last stream I did for Scout just before the deadline, you might have noticed that I had a certain other 8 million midfielder in my squad. That was Kulusevski. I took him out last minute for Mason Mount, and obviously then had to watch him get a goal and assist against Southampton, and then Mount blank in a really sort of poor performance from Chelsea. So, you know, I kind of vowed not to do that and not make last minute changes. And in the end, I did. I think that the Perisic news was so shaky. I just wasn't really sure what to kind of believe with it. I really want him in my team kind of long term. I think he's has the potential to break the game, as some people say, at 5.5 million. And yeah, I wanted to kind of go with him from the off and just see if he could get that kind of first start. And I knew there was a big risk of doing that. I thought he would start. I was probably about 60-40% that he would start, even though I saw rumours coming from Spurs. And I think as the day kind of went on, there was more and more ramping up, and I probably should have paid a bit more attention to that. But in the end, I decided to go with him. What that meant was that I had kind of Kulusevski in my team as well. And I thought, well, after game week one's over, he then goes into Chelsea, and then Richarlison's going to be in the team. Are we going to start seeing a bit of a shake-up with some new signings in? Is he potentially going to be a problem for me? Am I just looking at that game week one fixture and getting a bit overexcited about it? So in the end, I went for Mount, given that I think the long-term potential was there for Mount. He was kind of one of the highest-scoring XGI 8 million midfielders last season. I know there was some kind of uncertainties around Chelsea's attack, but from a FPL standpoint, I think he had a really good season last year. I was looking at Saka. I was looking at maybe starting with Foden. I was kind of considering them all. But in the end, I just thought, let's go for like the reliable pick here, get Mount. What I saw from him was disappointing. I mean, he lost some of his set pieces. He was really ineffective in that game. Everton did a great job marking him, and then he was subbed early. So awful kind of result for me with him. Kulusevski obviously came in and smashed it, but you know, it's just one of those things. I think, you know, the idea of going for Mount in general as that kind of safer pick was a decent one, but I think what I probably should have done in hindsight was just remove Perisic, who was the obvious risk, not kind of try and take out other half risks when I had a massive one just staring me at the face. Obviously, if I'd done Perisic down to a Gabriel or a Trippier, I'd have more points and I would have kept Kulusevski. So easy to say with hindsight. I'm trying not to beat myself up too much about it, but it is difficult when you've kind of struggled in game week one as well. So yeah, disappointed with that. I mean, it was just a lot of no points, really. I mean, obviously the goalkeepers, Ward and Iverson, I was hoping for a clean sheet against Brentford. I thought they were looking pretty good in that game. And then obviously taking Dewsbury Hall off, not making any subs. I think Rodgers really got his tactics wrong against that. It allowed Brentford to come back into the game and kind of snatch the draw. Double Liverpool defence, I was really happy watching them. Even though Liverpool were poor in general, I thought attacking-wise they were great. So I'm not too worried about those guys going forward. Dean and Perisic both with one. I mean, Dean was really disappointing. I mean, I really, really did agonise over which 5 million defender to go for. I thought there's absolutely outstanding options at that 5 million bracket. And of course, I picked basically the only one that didn't register any returns. Zinchenko, Gabriel, all players I was considering, Trippier as well, Walker, all returning, and Dean doesn't get anything. So a lot of people will be saying it serves you right for going with Dean. He's actually been pretty good for me over the years. I've caught some quite big hauls from him. I haven't had too many times when I benched him and he's hauled, or when I've sold him or when I've had him in my team and he hasn't done well. So I haven't really got that kind of bias towards him. But Villa, I wasn't expecting Villa to be that poor or Bournemouth to be that good. So full credit and to them as well. I was impressed with Neto looking a bit further up the pitch. I thought he looked good. Wolves shaky at the back, but I think they will score goals. They've got this new guy coming in, Guedes coming in, who I think looks good. Offers a bit of different kind of setup to them up front, with Jimenez out as well and Pedence playing up front as well. But Neto, he reminded me of a bit like Grealish last season, kind of in the right places, in the right areas. Ball just not really falling to him that much, but then he had some trickery as well, kind of the outside of the box. So happy to give him a few more weeks and kind of see from that. So yeah, overall disappointing, but you know, we move, as the people say. I hate that phrase so much, but yeah, we have to keep thinking of moving. So this is my team heading in to game week two. Now, you'll notice there is a glaring omission here, who I'll talk about in a sec. It's Ward again, away at Arsenal, not ideal by any stretch. Hoping for some save points. It's Trent, Robertson, Cancelo and Dean. I think that's maybe as good as it gets, that back four. I really like the prospects of Trent and Robertson, as I kind of said. Cancelo, obviously the best defender you can have playing for Man City. And then Dean as well. I mean, I look at the 5 million options this week. I think Newcastle away at Brighton, that's quite a tough game. Brighton played really well. I think Leicester can score against Arsenal as well. So that's Gabriel and Zinchenko. I think Walker's obviously a great option as well, but that would, you know, potentially block me from moving to Haaland. It could, you know, they could sign another defender coming in as well. Maybe purely for 1 week, Walker would be the one that I'd go for if I was looking for that third defender spot, but I think given the kind of uncertainties around that, I mean, they're definitely going to sign a fullback, I think, before the transfer window closes. We should put a bit more pressure on Walker. So I look at Villa and think, okay, they've had this really bad performance. There's some kind of unrest emerging from the camp, but they've got a good opportunity now in front of their home fans against an Everton side who don't have a recognised striker to get a clean sheet and get some vital points before the fixtures turn sort of quite nasty. So it's a big game for Gerrard, and I think they'll come through it with a narrow win. Up front, we've got Salah and De Bruyne. Now, De Bruyne means I haven't got Haaland. You might be thinking, where the hell is Haaland in your team as? Well, I've got De Bruyne, and a lot of people are asking why I did that, why I went for De Bruyne, why I didn't go for a Kane or a Haaland and look for that switch. I think for me, it was a combination of things, really. I really liked the look of De Bruyne pre-season and towards the end of last season. I thought that was, you know, not just the goals he scored, but the positions he was taking up. So advanced, so attacking. He looks fully fit. He's recovered from all his injuries. And I thought, you know, Haaland will only boost his kind of prospects, because now there's going to be kind of more assists and there's going to be that target man to maybe take some of the pressure off De Bruyne, really. So I was very close between them. I just thought that Haaland could take a little bit of time to settle in the league. It's been one game week. That looks like an absolutely ridiculous theory now, given he scored two goals against West Ham. You know, he's on penalties. He, don't get me wrong, he's an absolutely outstanding option. But it has only been one game week. And he's playing a very different side now in Bournemouth. I think Haaland will haul against Bournemouth. Don't get me wrong. I think 10 to 15 points is almost certain from that game. He'll get a couple of goals in that. But that doesn't mean to me that De Bruyne can't also get two or three goals in that match as well. So it would be taking a hit for De Bruyne or out for Haaland, bringing in a 4.5. I can't afford a 5 because obviously of the price rise for Haaland. So maybe you could argue that I should have done it early. I could have got a Bailey, but I wasn't really too enamoured by going for him, given that Villa's fixture turn and going with two Villa after that performance seems a bit of a risk. So instead, I thought I'd hold, give myself two transfers next week. I think if De Bruyne, maybe if he operates deep or if he doesn't look quite the same and we just see a relentless Haaland again, then obviously that switch is going to have to be made with the two frees. If they kind of roundabout roughly kind of match each other, then I think I've got other fires to put out, and I'll probably hold De Bruyne for the kind of short term at least. The issues, of course, are with price rises. It's really, really tricky to sit on your hands when Haaland's price, you know, he could be 12 million in a couple of weeks, the same price as De Bruyne, and obviously a lot of people have got him for 0.5. And you know, when De Bruyne is more money, you've got to get more points from him, really, and I can't really see that happening. So don't get me wrong, I know I'm not in an ideal scenario. Be interested to know what you guys think. Would you have moved early for Haaland? Would you have done De Bruyne out and brought Haaland in? Would you keep the faith with De Bruyne for a few more weeks? I don't think it's an easy decision. I think a lot of people are saying, you know, Haaland's a must-have and everything, and I completely agree that he is if you don't have De Bruyne. But I'm hoping that De Bruyne, I don't think De Bruyne covers Haaland, but I think De Bruyne is a fantastic option in his own right that could outscore him. So be really interesting to see what kind of happens to that. If the pendulum does switch back and De Bruyne does sort of heavily outscore Haaland, we're unlikely to see many people making that move over to De Bruyne. So that's why it's a very risky pick, because if Haaland hauls again and De Bruyne doesn't, we're going to see even more people moving, and then I'm in a bit of trouble. So I'm going to give it one more week. Hopefully Haaland doesn't outscore De Bruyne by too much. Hopefully De Bruyne outscores him. That's what I'm paying for. So yeah, we'll kind of see how it goes. Anyway, that's the rationalisation for that. I won't keep going on about it. I've got Mount in there. Now, Mount is an option to take out as well. I was really disappointed with him. I do wonder if there's a hint of an injury around that. He doesn't normally get subbed early, but he was really ineffective in that game. There's question marks around Chelsea's kind of struggling attack. You know, Sterling's coming in. They haven't got this forward. Havertz, I have my doubts about as well. I want to see something more from Mount in that game, just to kind of make me confident that he's going to haul in the easier games of Leeds and Southampton kind of on the horizon. So he's not a kind of a hard sell for me. I'm willing to give him a bit of time. But like I said, with transfers happening so quickly and prices happening so quickly, it's really difficult to be patient with some of these players. And, you know, especially if Mount goes down in price and then I'm priced out of the likes of Kulusevski or Saka, it's going to be really, you know, really bitter pill to swallow. So need to kind of keep my eye on that and really assess his performance against Spurs. Neto is fine. I talked about him a minute ago. I think he's good. I mean, Fulham at home, I wasn't that impressed with Wolves. But they did look all right kind of going forward, whether that says more about Leeds or not. But I thought that there is a bit of pace in there. He's got that kind of trickery. Gibbs White might be on the move, which weakens them, but they've got this new signing coming in. So I'm happy to kind of give him a bit more time. He wasn't really playing in the kind of, you know, lone striker up front role that we might have hoped for. I think Jimenez out kind of pushed him a bit wider, means Pedence kind of operates in that kind of central role. But he was still making good runs, still getting into good positions. I'm hoping that the balls you know, fall a little bit kinder to him. I'm playing Pereira. Now, if you told me in game week 2 that I'd be playing Andreas Pereira, I would think that something had gone majorly wrong in my side, and you could argue that it has, and I'm sure a lot of people will. I was really impressed with Fulham, though. I thought they were absolutely excellent against Liverpool. You know, the pressing, the style of play they have, the ability to hit Mitrovic on a whim, and Pereira, I think, is going to be a really key part of that attack. He's on the set piece, he's played really far forward, he's got a good pass on him as well, and he's going to be that kind of chief creator hub. So I think he's going to easily outscore his 4.5 million price tag. He's got two good games now. Wolves, really shaky defence, really poor, and then Brentford next as well. And then a really tough run of games. But it could be an option for two people. If you're like me, you want to hold a transfer and just kind of get a little bit more data to kind of assess with. So I'm not too worried about playing him. You know, a lot of people are playing Bailey, for example. I don't think there's a huge amount between Bailey and Andreas Pereira this week, you know, and I'm happy to kind of, you know, run at the corner and play him with Perisic on my bench, because I just don't trust his starting. I think he might start against Chelsea, actually, but it would be very harsh on Sessegnon if he did. Perisic is an interesting on what to do with him. I mean, I'm going to hold him this week. If he doesn't start against Chelsea, you know, then it's a really nice game at home to Wolves. Does he get that start? He's got to start, you know, pretty soon. Is it worth holding him though, when he could get subbed off, you know, 60 minutes or earlier? it might be that I do just kind of count my losses on that and take him out. I mean, like, for example, if there's no price rises, and I'm going to talk about some of the players I'm looking at, I could move him down to a 4.5 and move Dean up to a James, for example, and play with that. And then it's Gabriel Jesus up front as well, and, you know, didn't score, 75% ownership. I'm still not entirely sold on him. I'd rather have Saka, for example, but in the kind of system and setup that I've got, Jesus kind of has to stay. Even if I was to bring in Haaland, I wouldn't trust Haaland as my lone striker, so it kind of has to be Jesus in the side. There's no other strikers that I particularly want, unless we're looking at Nunes, for example. But I think for now, the fullbacks are still... I'm still more than happy with owning those two, but I can see the appeal of Nunes. So I've got a few little kind of arrows and circles to put around my players. So we've got Ward here, so he's a big orange. That's the orange flag for me. I'm not happy about that, you know, that conceding two goals to Brentford. So he, you know, he is someone that I'm kind of looking at. It's going to be very unlikely that I do find any way to move him on, though, before the wild card. But he is certainly a concern. Trent and Robertson, absolutely fine. More than happy to hold on to those. Obviously, I wanted Nunes. I'd have to move one of them on. But I think that's too much of a luxury transfer for me when I've got kind of a few issues kind of elsewhere. Cancelo as well. He's not going anywhere. He'll probably be in my team all season, as will Trent. Robertson might kind of dip in out, but I think with Harvey Elliott in the team as well, I think that makes Trent an even better option. And Cancelo, you know, playing quite in midfield, not getting forward as much in that first game. I expect that to change against Bournemouth, and he's going to be kind of flying up higher. So, yeah, not worried about him at all. Dean's a red, though. Dean is a big problem for me. I think particularly after this week, if he doesn't get anything against Everton and then he goes into the run of games that he's got, I think he's going to be a pretty easy sell. The problem is I might get stuck with him because if Haaland does haul again, then I have to do De Bruyne out. Then maybe that happens. But it means that I could just bring Perisic in for Dean and play Pereira again, you know, and then I just feel like I'm going to get stuck with Dean and probably lose some value on him. I think I need to get some returns from him this week. In an ideal world, Dean gets me 7 points this week, 7 or 8 points. De Bruyne and Haaland look broadly the same. I decided to keep him and then I moved Dean on for someone else. So that would be the ideal, but fantasy football very rarely works out like that. Salah's fine, no issues with him. Really poor performance for Liverpool, probably the worst they'll play all season, but I'm going to back him to continue to deliver. They'll improve. His kind of link-up play with Nunes is going to be really interesting as well. I really like Harvey Elliott coming to that side, overloading that right-hand side, Trent bobbing down, Salah. I think there's going to be goals down that side, so yeah, no concerns about him at all. De Bruyne, I've just highlighted as orange. I want to wait and see to see how he fares in this Bournemouth game. I do worry that I could get punished. And then I have to move him out, but I would ideally like to keep him. I think obviously he's such a good player. I'd like to keep him until the World Cup, at least give him 6 weeks to assess. But if there's going to be a 40 or 50 point chasm between him and Haaland by then that's going to look like a really stupid move. Mount as well, orange, happy to give him time, but need to see a little bit more from him. Neto is fine. I've talked about him. I think he looks all right. Same with Pereira as well. I'm happy with these two budget kind of options. I think they give me a little bit of breathing room with what to do with Perisic. The only thing that worries me about Perisic is the price drop that could inevitably come. But for now, I'm not going to panic too much. And then I've got Gabriel Jesus as a green as well. I'm not going to panic on him. Very highly owned, likely dropping price, but still a good Arsenal attacker with a great run of fixtures to come. So I would be keeping the faith. Here's my watch list. I'll be kind of updating this each week kind of as I go. Not a huge amount of players on it, which is fairly encouraging. In defence, I've got Zinchenko, I've got Reece James, I've got Saliba, who I really like the look of as a 4.5 option. Obviously, Tomiyasu is going to come in. Does that mean Ben White just doesn't play anymore? I think that'd be harsh on him as a Brighton fan, and I know what a good player he is. But they can't drop Saliba given that performance that he's just put in. So there's a bit of a kind of a risk of rotation around Saliba, but 4.5, particularly in the short term until this wild card, I think he's a great option. Reguilon as well, I'll put him. I mean, there's rumours going around that Brighton are interested in him. He feels like he's a bit kind of too good for us, really. You know, coming from Real Madrid, going to Spurs, Champions League football, all that kind of stuff. I thought he was going off to Sevilla, but, you know, there's rumours. If he does come in at 4.4, I think he's going to be a really good option for us as well. So definitely one to keep your eye on. In midfield, I'm looking at Kulusevski. He's gone up in price. Going to mean he's quite hard to get. But, you know, if he carries on putting in performances like that, I think he's going to be something that's difficult to ignore. And then look at all the other 8 million options. I mean, Madison's on there, Saka, Foden as well. You know, they all look great. I've got Gabriel Martinelli as well. If I do want to downgrade the 8 million and go down to a 6 million or a 6.1 million, then Martinelli kind of is the man. 0.4 minutes per XG on penalty. I mean, obviously, this data sample is really, really small, but Martinelli's XG wasn't amazing in that game. It was about the same as Saka's, for example, who just registered the assist. But still looks great value, kind of at that 6 million mark. as well. I put Foden on him as well. I mean, the lowest of the minutes per XGI non-pen. One game data sample. Didn't look that threatening, though. And I think that kind of data kind of bears that out. Maybe showing minutes with Mahrez. Maybe moving to the left, showing minutes with Grealish. I think he's too big a gamble, really, to go with. So I think it's going to limit people to, you know, maybe double City defence and Haaland, or someone like me, maybe going for De Bruyne and Haaland. But it's difficult to justify that with Salah as well, because you can kind of make it work. Elsewhere, we've got budget players. And then up front, I mean, I've got Nunes in. I've got to be impressed by the debut he had. He could be someone that we do take some money out. You know, if he is going to match Salah for 4 million less or even get close to it, things we can do with that money are absolutely massive. So could be an option. I'm not saying it will be an option, but it could be an option if we see more of him, of what we've seen. He's a poacher. He's a very intelligent player in the box. And obviously Salah needs to outscore him heavily to be worth the extra money. I've got Haaland in. I mean, can't believe he's on my watch list, not in my team, but, you know, I've talked about him enough. Welbeck, was so impressed with Welbeck. His price is disappointing. I mean, 6.5 is a lot. The same as Mitrovic, for example. He won't have penalties, and there might be a bit more rotation with him. He has had fitness issues in the past, but if you are looking for a differential kind of Brighton player, you're impressed with what you saw, then he probably is the one to go for in our side. But I'd probably have Mitrovic kind of at the same price, and Wilson as well. I mean, 7.5 for Wilson, it seems a bargain if he can stay fit. So I do like the look of Wilson. Newcastle's fixtures aren't amazing going forward, but, you know, if he can put on a prolonged period of not picking up an injury, they can come out of these rough fixtures and have a good, you know, a good spell of games, he could be someone that we look to. And maybe forwards are back, you know, there's options, you know, Nunes, Haaland, Jesus, Wilson, Mitrovic. Suddenly it looks like the forwards might be back on the radar. So check out Harry's video that he did on some of those as well on the channel, and let me know what you think of the forwards. Let's talk about Fantasy 5 then. The game this week are Arsenal versus Leicester, Man City versus Bournemouth, goals in that, Brentford v United, Chelsea, Tottenham and Liverpool Palace. So looking at Arsenal first, I mean, you've got to back a kind of Arsenal win in this. The Leicester players are priced pretty kind. I mean, Dewsbury Hall, for example, 5.5. That means he just needs a goal, and he did score kind of in game one. Surely Rodgers isn't going to take him off early. James Maddison, I keep calling him Jamie, I don't know why, maybe some of his friends call him Jamie, it's just 7.5, so a clean sheet and a goal, quite a lot that you need for that. The likes of Saka, for example, 8.5, Odegaard 7.5, Martinez 8.5, Jesus is, you know, quite expensive at 9.5. Vardy's an interesting one though, at 6.5, would need a goal and assist, but, you know, it could happen. I think he's probably the undervalued pick here, and probably the one I'll go for, so we'll stick Vardy in. Man City, I think we've got to go big on this one. I don't think we can be picking a Bournemouth player, even though you can see their points totals are incredibly low. I think we have to go for a big sort of City win. So Haaland's 10.5, De Bruyne is 11.5. I really want to go for De Bruyne, but realistically, I think you have to go for Haaland at 10.5. I mean, he's going to need, well, 3 goals, really. De Bruyne would need 2 goals. Maybe De Bruyne is the better choice because you haven't got the bonus points to think about. Yeah, interesting, because if Haaland gets two goals, that'll be 10 points, right? Because it'll be 2 times 4 and then the 2 appearance. Let's go for De Bruyne then. If he gets 2 goals, that's 10, and then his 2 appearance points. That'd be amazing if De Bruyne gets 2 goals. Let's stick him in and go for it. Brentford versus United. United normally get priced quite highly on this, and they have. I mean, Rashford, Sancho, Eriksen, all 7.5. I'm not trusting these guys, you know, that much. Looking at someone like Tony, for example, 6.5, I don't mind that. Looking in defence, can Brentford kind of keep them out? Looking at the likes of Pinnock, Henry, not really too sure. Difficult one to call this. The prices are actually more even than I kind of thought they were. Let's go for, what do you reckon? Let's go for a United win then. Let's pick I've been slating Maguire all week. Let's go for a Maguire bullet header. That's all he needs, just one header in that game. Brentford have got their injuries. Maybe Maguire can get a goal and kind of, shush the crowd like he likes to do. Chelsea Tottenham, we've got some good picks here. Havertz at 6.5. We've got my boy Mount and Sterling, both at 7.5. As well. I always like to pick the wing backs, especially in a kind of a game like this. I mean, Reece James is there, 8.5. Chilwell, 7.5. Do we think Perisic is going to start? He's 6.5. Sessegnon's there. Yeah, really tricky to know. I think Emerson Royale could be an interesting one at 6.5. Can he get a clean sheet and an assist? Difficult. Maybe we should just go for Reece James. No, I'm going to stick up on Emerson Royale. I think there's some question marks around Perisic and Sessegnon, but let's back Emerson Royale. It's a good performance from him. in that game. If he can, you know, if he can maybe get a goal in that, we'll take it. And then finally, it's Liverpool versus Palace. You've got to expect Liverpool to win this. I think we just go big on one of them. I mean, Salah's 12.5. Diaz is 8.5. Nunes, 8.5. I think we go for one of those two, Nunes or Diaz. Let's go for Nunes. It's his first. It'll be his first start for Liverpool. He'll be playing in front of the Kop and the home crowd. Let's hope that he can get a big haul. So normally I like to go for a couple of kind of the cheaper picks. I've gone for, you know, some players that are going to need to all kind of deliver quite big returns here. But that is what we'll do this week. I'll let you know how I got on last week. If you're interested in Fantasy 5, check out the link in the description. Do give it a play. It's really fun, really easy to set up your team. And you could win 10 grand or some great other prizes. So thanks very much, everyone, for watching. I hope you've enjoyed this video. I'll be back next week with my next team selection. And good luck in Game Week 2.